Welcome back, everybody, to Yomi Tudor Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph 93, and we're on the very bottom of Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Beis by the Mishnah. So the Mishnah here is going to talk about the concept of Shnayim Shasa, that we know normally in order to be chayav for Malacha on Shabbos, you need to be doing it in a normal way. But if it's done kilachar yad, in a backhanded type of way with a shinoi, then you would normally be putter. So let's say we have two people doing a Malacha, so we're going to talk about different types of situations. Let's say both of them could have done it, or neither of them could have done it, or maybe one was just helping. It's going to transition into a conversation about misayeya, helpers. What's that status in Halacha? So let's get started. So says the Mishnah, Motzi Kikar Lishus Harabim. If someone takes a loaf of bread from a Rishus Hayachah to a Rishus Harabim, Chayev, you are going to be Chayev. That is obvious, but it leads us into the next halach of the Mishnah. Hotiyu Shnayim, if two people took out that loaf together, Peturin, they are going to be Pater. The seeming reason is because each of them could have done it on their own, but they did it together. So therefore, you are going to be Pater, because that is a weird way of doing it. Lo Yachalech, Lo Tio, however, if neither of them could have done it on their own, Hotiyu Shnayim, and then the two of them took it out together, Chayev, and you are going to be Chayev in that case, because each of them put in their full effort. Probably the Rishonim discuss why that would be. Rabbi Shimon Pater, but Rabbi Shimon says you are going to be putter in that situation. As long as two people are doing something, it is always going to be putter. Now the Gemara comes and brings a discussion which kind of irons out the shitos in the Mishnah. So if you have a situation where each of them could have done it by themselves, Rabbi Meir Mechayev, Rabbi Meir says you would be Chayev in that case. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, Potrim. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon both say you are going to be Potter in such a case. If neither of them could have done it on their own, but they are able to do it together. So there Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir Mechayev. So there Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir are both Mechayev. Rabbi Shimon Potrim. Rabbi Shimon says you're going to be Potter. Now the last case, let's say one of them could have done it by themselves and the other one could not have done it by themselves. If they carry it together, everyone agrees they are going to be chayv, but we don't really say who is going to be chayv, so the Gemara is going to discuss that a little bit later. So what really comes out from the Mishnah and then this beginning Gemara, there are three shitos. When it comes to Shnayim Shasa'ua, when it comes to two people doing something together, so Rabbi Meir says you are always going to be chayv, which in essence means there is no such concept of Shnayim Shasa'ua. Then there is the shita of Rabbi Shimon, who says no matter what, even if both of them could really do it on their own or both of them cannot do it on their own, doesn't matter, it's always going to be potter because Shnayim Shasa'ua is always applicable and always going to be true. And then you have the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who says it depends. It depends if it's something that they could have done on their own. If they both could have done it, then you're going to be potter. But if neither of them could have done it on their own, then they are going to be chayev. So comes the Gemara and says, Tani Nami Yachi, we also learn in a Brisa, Moti Kikar Rishus Haram. If someone takes out a loaf of bread into a Rishus Haram, Chayiv, you're going to be Chayiv, Otiyu Shnayim. If two people took out that loaf together, Rabbi Meir Mechayiv, Rabbi Meir says Chayiv. Again, he says that Shnayim Shasu'ua never works. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Im Lo Yachalecha, Lo Tiyav, Otiyu Shnayim, Chayiv. If neither of them were able to do it, then Chayiv, and then there would be Chayiv, Im Lav. But if this is not the case, and each of them could have done it on their own, Peturin, then they would be Pater. Rabbi Shimon Poter, Rabbi Shimon always says, you are going to be Pater because Shnayim Shasu'ua always works. So now the Gemara has to come and describe where each of these Tanaim got their shita from. So, Menahani Mili, how do we know all this is true to Tanu Rabbanim? Because our Rabbi Sonos Raisa, Ba'asosa. The Pasuk, when talking about the Karma Chata, says Ba'asosa, by his committing the Isser. So, what's this referring to? Ha'osa es ku, lavalo ha'osa es miktsasa. So, says the Gemara, the Drush is that it's talking about someone who does the entire Isser by themselves and not someone who only does part of the Isser. So, Ketzad, what's the case? So, Shnaim Chayu Ochazin b'malgez v'logzin. So, if you have two people that are holding on to a pitchfork and they were stacking, which is the Isser of Ma'amer, the Malach of Ma'amer, so you have two people doing that together, or Bechar Kar Vishovtin, or if you have two people holding some sort of rod and arranging it, that's the issue of Mesech, that's the Melach of Mesech, Bekulmos Vekosin, or if they're holding a pen and writing, that's the Melach of Kosev, Bekanav Otsi, which is Ram, or they're holding some sort of reed and carrying it out into Rishis Ram, this is the Isser of Otsa, Yachu, you Chayav, you might think that they're going to be Chayav, Tam and Lomar, Ba'asosa, Ha'usa es Kula Velo, Usa es Miksasa. So comes the Gemara and teaches us, no, only someone who does all of the Melacha, but not someone who does part of the Melacha. Now comes the Gemara and continues, Beagle Sheldvila, however, if two people are holding some large object, like a round cake of pressed figs, Votiyu Rishis Haram, and they carry it into Rishis Haram, Bekorav Votiyu Rishis Haram, or they're dealing with a big plank, and they take this into the Rishis Harabim. Rabbi Yehuda says, Im lo yachalecha lo tziyav, otziyu shnayim, that if one person was not able to do this on their own, and two people took it out together, chayav, and they're both going to be chayav, im lav, but if this was not the case, and each of them could have taken it on their own, then Peturin, and they are going to be potter. Rabbi Shimon says, af al pi shelo yachalecha lo tziyav, even if neither of them were able to do it on their own, otziyu shnayim, and both of them took it out together, Peturin, they're still going to be potter, lekach nemar ba'asosa, because this is why the pasuk says, ba'asosa, by his committing the isser, yachad sha'asa chayav, shnayim sha'asa'ua is going to be Peturin. Iturin. So says Rabbi Shimon, this rule is always going to apply, but we see that this is really just a discussion about how to interpret this pasuk of Ba'aso Saba. Now, once we said that this is what they're kind of discussing, so we have to figure out where exactly did they break off? Why are they arguing if they all have the same pasuk as their source? So says the Gemara, Michael Miflegi, which point are they disagreeing on? Says the Gemara Bahaikra, they are arguing over how to interpret the pasuk, because the pasuk says, "V'im nefesh achas techateh b'shkaga mi'am ha'aretz ba'aso sada." If an individual amongst the people of the land sins unintentionally by his committing one of these sins, and then the pasuk goes on. So Rabbi Shimon says, "Tlasa mi'utekziv." There are three exclusions in this pasuk, because nefesh techata, that a soul shall sin; achas techata, that one shall sin; ba'aso sada techata, and by his committing he shall sin. So each of these three phrases teach us something else. So chad lemuteze oker. So one of these exclusions is coming to teach us that in a case where one person does the akira and one person does the hanacha, right? Remember, when it comes to hotza, you need to have an akira and hanacha. So if one person does the akira, one person does the hanacha, then you are going to be pater. One is coming to exclude the case where each of them are able to do it, that you're going to be pater. That's what this one of these other exclusions is teaching us. And the third one is it's coming to exclude even in the situation where neither of them were able to do it on their own, still you're going to be pater. That's what we learn out from the psukim. Rabbi Yehuda, and how does Rabbi Yehuda interpret the psukim? So he also has these three exclusionary phrases, but he interprets them a little bit differently. So the first one's coming to exclude a situation where one did the akira, one did the hanacha, that you're going to be pater. And the other one's coming to exclude a case where each of them were able to carry it on their own, yet they did it together, so you're going to be pater over there. And now comes Rabbi Yehuda and has a different interpretation as to what the third one's coming to exclude, as opposed to teaching us a case where neither of them were able to do it. He says, no, the third one is coming to teach us the case where the Beis Din says that something's okay. Let's say Beis Din says the chela of fat, which is normally usherdi, but they say it's mutterdi, and someone acts on their advice and they eat, so they are going to be pater. So that's what this third exclusion is coming to teach us. So that's why they would hold in a case where neither of them are able to do so, then you would be chayv, because there's no exclusion of that case from the pasuk. Rabbi Shimon, who used that third exclusion to teach us the case of where neither of them were able to do it on their own and they do it together, they're still going to be pater. So what he would say is, yachad she'asah boras Beis Din chayv, that someone who did this type of act based on the advice of Beis Din is still going to be chayv. Rabbi Meir, now how would Rabbi Meir learn out these psukim? So Rabbi Meir says, who says that there are these three limud? Miksiv nefesh techata, achas techata, ba'asosa techata. So you're adding in the word techta to make a drasha from each of these words in the pasuk, but it doesn't say that. Trei mutekziv. Rather, there are only two exclusions in the pasuk. Chal mutezeo kervizemaniach. One is coming to exclude a case of one person doing the akira, one person doing the hanacha. That's when you're going to be pater. V'chal mutayachad shasab or ras Beis Din. And one is coming to exclude the case of someone who acts on the advice of Beis Din and commits an issur, that you're going to be pater. So what comes out from Rabbi Meir is there's no source at all. Ba'asosa never teaches us anything about shnayim shasa'ua, and this whole concept of two people doing something, lowering the issur, doesn't even really exist. Now, in general, when we're talking about this concept, it's important to know there is a big machlokas as to what it means when we say pater by shnayim shasa'ua. So the Nesivos and the Mekor Chaim has this whole idea that it's only really a patur mikarbon. Rabbi Kivi Eger's misapek about this. Other Rishonim say that it really is even a patur and lowers the issur. Practically, this comes up by, let's say, Hatzalah members. You have a Hatzalah guy who's going into the car and opening and doing some sort of malacha. We try to lessen malacha if we could. So maybe having two people go and turn on the car, even though one person could have done it on their own, maybe that's a lower level of issur. Is this necessary? Maybe it's helpful. Can someone be their own shnayim shasa'u if they do it with two hands as opposed to one hand? All this is discussed in the postgame, not for us right now. Now comes the Gemara and get to that next part of the Braisa that we were talking about. So Amar Mar, we said previously, Zei Yachol v'Zeinu Yachol Divra Kol Chayim, that if one person is able to do it on their own and the other person is not, then everyone agrees that he is Chayim. But the Gemara doesn't say, who is Chayim? Hai Minayu Mechayim. Which one of them is going to be Chayim? Amar Rav Chista, Zei Yachol. The person who is able to carry it himself is going to be Chayim. Di'i Zei She'inu Yachol, my God, because if it's the person who is unable to carry it by themselves, they didn't do anything because they can't do anything on their own anyway, so why would they be chayev? So inches the Gemara, though, that's not necessarily true. Amarle, Rav Humnuna, Dikam Misaya Bahadei, because this weaker person is a Misaya. Even though the stronger person could do it on their own, the weaker person's still helping, it's making it lighter for the stronger person, so maybe Misaya is going to be chayev. So Amarle, so they answer back to him, Misaya Ein Bo Mamish. Misaya, aiding and just helping, is not considered significant enough to make you chayev. The Gemara is now going to bring four proofs, and we'll do just the beginning of it today. So comes the Gemara with the first proof and says, Amar Rav Zid Mishmei Rav, Rav Zid Sen, name of Rav. Afan Anami Tinino, we also learn this name, Mishnah, in Zavim. The Mishnah is teaching us about the status of a Zav, someone who's had an emission, so they are Tamei Tomas Medras. Even by lying on something, they are going to be everything under it, Tamei as well. So Haya Yoshev Agabe Amita, so if a Zav was sitting on a bed, Va'arba Talios Tachas Ragle Amita, and there were four different talios, talis, talisim, that were under each of the bed's four legs. So Tameos, all of these talios are going to be tamei, because the bed can't stand on just three legs, and therefore it's going to be tamei. Rabbi Shimon mitahar. Rabbi Shimon says they are going to be tahar, and this fits into the machlokas we had before, because Rabbi Shimon held that even when two people are unable to do something on their own, meaning all of those things are needed, still shnayim shasa'u is going to make you putter, because we don't view it any different whether both of them can do it on their own or if they cannot do it on their own. Therefore, in this case, Rabbi Shimon would also not give any significance to any of the individual legs of the bed when it comes to the tumah v'tumas midras, and therefore he would say it's going to be tahor, because when they're all working together, when things are working together, you can't give anything to just the individual thing. This is like a case of shnayim shasua, but the first shita would hold that they are still going to become tamei. So now the Mishnah continues. If, however, the zav was riding on an animal, and the animal comes to a standstill, and there were four talesim under each of the animal's four legs, tahoros, all of these talesim are going to be tahor, because the animal can just as easily stand on three legs. And therefore, all of the legs are deemed insignificant on their own, and that's why you would still be tar. Vamai, but ask the Gemara, why would it be tar? We should still say that it's going to be tame, because even though each of these legs of the animals are not necessarily needed, they each help. They take some of the load off the other leg, so this is like a misayeh. We should say you're going to be chayev. Lav mishum damrina misayeh imbo mamish. Is it not because we say that misayeh by itself is insignificant, and therefore we are not going to make you chayev based on that, just like we're not going to make you tame based on that? So Gemara tries to reject this proof. It says, Amar Rav Yehuda midiskar. So Rav Yehuda of Discarta says, Liolam Ema Lach Misaya Yeshba Mamish. Maybe we can really say over here that Misayeya is significant, Vishainyacha, but here in this case of this Mishnah, it's different, because the Akra La Lagamri, because a standing animal often lifts one of its legs entirely off the ground, and therefore, since the leg is entirely off the ground, maybe the Zav was never actually bearing its weight on it, and therefore that's why it's going to be tar, as opposed to this reason of Misayah. But the real halacha might be Misayah Yesh Bo Mamish, that it is considered significant, so maybe it'd be different by the case of carrying on Shabbos. But comes the Gemara and rejects that rejection. It says, but since we have a situation that sometimes the animal lifts its leg and sometimes it doesn't, this should be treated similarly to the case of the Zav who shifts himself while he's asleep. Milo Tanan, did we not learn in a different Mishnah in Zavim that Zav Shayamuta Chamisha Safsal, that a Zav who's lying on five different benches, Oa Chamesh Pundos, or on five different money belts or something, La Orkan, if he's lying vertically, then all of these benches and belts are going to be Tamei. They're all going to be Tamei. But if he's lying on them horizontally across them widthwise, to hold him, then they are all going to be tar, because no one bench or money belt would ever be supporting all of his weight. So we see that that's why it's going to be tar. Now the Mishnah continues, and we're going to see the proof in just a second. Yashin, if the Zav was sleeping as he was laying across widthwise, so Safek Misape Chalein, if we have a Safek, whether maybe he changed directions while he was sleeping and ended up vertically, Tamein, we see he's going to be Tamei. So what we see from over here is we have a Safek, whether he shifted his body in a way that would make him Tamei, and still we're going to say Tamei. So we see a Safek case is going to become Tamei. So if we have the case by the animal, where the animal might be lifting his leg, might not be lifting his leg, we should say that they are going to be Tamei anyway. So we can't come and say the reason why the animal is going to be Tahor is because maybe the animal is going to be lifting is led and not actually supporting the Zav, because we see from the other Mishnah in Zavim that a Safek situation of whether there's going to be Tumas Midras, you're still going to say that it is Tamei with a Safek situation. So rather, the reason why it must be Tahor and Amar situation of the animal must be because Misayeya is Ein Bo Mamish. El Lav Mishum Da'amrinan Misayeya Ein Bo Mamish. That must be why we said it like that, and that is the first proof of the Gemara, that Misayeya is Ein Bo Mamish. And this is Daf Tzadi Gimel Amad Aleph. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.